you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I thought Woody was going to preach my sermon this morning. This morning we are talking about the body. And when we say the body, that's a term that you will see in the Bible, the body of Christ. And that is the church. We see the church all throughout the New Testament. And so this morning, the sermon title is If We Are the Body. And the praise team did such a wonderful job this morning leading us in worship. And one of the songs that they led us in was this song. And as we heard earlier, this is a challenging song. And I'll be honest with you, if you listen to the band Casting Crowns, most of their songs are challenging songs because it asks us questions that we don't always like to think about. And of course, the point of the song, If We Are the Body, is if we are the body of Christ, if we are the church, then are we loving? Are we reaching out to people? Are we biblically doing what we are called to do? And this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we will look as the Apostle Paul clearly is speaking to believers. Clearly, he is speaking to the church, and he is challenging the church. And I believe that his words not only apply to those believers, but they apply to you and I today. So if you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, please stand in honor of reading God's word, and we will read verse 12 to verse 20. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Bow with me. Father, Lord, speak this morning. Let us hear from you. We ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. There are three things referring to this text that are clear. The first is if we are in Christ, then we are a part of the body. Now that term, in Christ, there's a lot of Christian lingo that we use. We use the word saved. We use the word born again. We use the word, do you know Christ? And of all those definitions, what I like the best is in Christ. And what I mean by that is it's not good enough just to come. It's not good enough just to know about God or know about the Lord. Here in the Bible Belt, here in this community, in this part of the state, most everyone knows who Jesus Christ is. That's not the question. You might know of him. The question is, do you know him? Are you in Christ? And what the Apostle Paul here is saying to believers is, if you are in Christ, if you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, if you have been bought with the blood, if the sacrifice of Jesus covers you, then you are in the body. And all through this text this morning, we are going to see Paul give us a beautiful visual when he talks about the body. We all know what a body is. We all have a physical body. We all understand that all our body is one, but it's many. Our hand is different than our foot. Our ear is different than our stomach. Our body is vast. And so this morning, we are going to see the illustration over and over. But what we have to understand is we might be a part of Salem First Baptist Church. We might be a part of the church. But if we're not a part of the body of Christ, it doesn't matter. Years ago, I heard someone say, well, listen, I know I'm covered. I have church membership. Well, that's not good enough to God the Father. Now, we're going to talk about church membership this morning. But I want us to recall our theme this year. our theme is it's a whole new ball game. And the first thing we talked about, first base, if you will, is salvation. And if you know anything about baseball, you know if you miss first base, if you go to second base, if you go to third base, if you go all the way to home, and if you touch every base, but if you don't first touch the first base, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you did everything else right. If you do not make contact with first base, it's all a wash. In the same way, membership is critical. Service is critical. Heaven is the destination. But listen to me, church. If you are not saved, it doesn't matter if you're a member. Nothing else matters. It starts with salvation. And if you're saved, you're in the body. What a wonderful and beautiful thing that is. The second thing we see this morning is if we are a part of the body, then we are connected to other believers. So once again, Paul reminds us the importance of this. One spirit. We are baptized in one spirit. This isn't the baptism that we witnessed a few weeks ago. No, this is the baptism when you're saved, you're baptized by the Spirit of God. You are saved, you're washed in the blood, and you are brought into the body. Into one body, not different bodies, but one. And what we see here is then Paul says, you know what? Once you are in that body, you are connected to all believers. And Paul makes a big statement. And to you and I, this might not be a big deal, but here in verse 13, when he says, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, those are fighting words. In Paul's days, to compare a Jewish man to a Gentile, you might as well talk about his mama. It's just not good. But yet what Paul is trying to say is, listen, you put all these standards in place. You put all these divisions. And the Jewish people, God's people, they were so legalistic that they believed that if you weren't just like them, you wouldn't go to heaven. And what Paul is saying is, listen, when Jesus came down and when his blood is all that we need to be saved, it doesn't matter about your background anymore. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, if you're Gentile, if you're this, if you're that. All that matters is if you know him, if you are in him. Now you might say, well, Tyler, what does that mean for me? I don't know about you, but if you look at churches, often you're going to see some churches that are very similar. You're going to see in some churches the people within that church, they're alike. Maybe socially, maybe just on what they do for a living, and you're going to see that people tend to want to gather with people they're like. That's not just you, that's me. But do you know that the church isn't supposed to be like that? The church is supposed to be different. We see in the New Testament, we don't see the Bible talking about churches on every corner. What we're seeing is these cities have one church. And what we see here is that the people would come together and they were from different backgrounds. They were from either the Greek or they were from the Jewish background. And they would take all these differences and they would put them aside for Jesus. And you might say, well, Tyler, that's not possible. Oh, it is. It was ugly at times. I mean, you study the letters of Paul. Paul got on to those people a lot because they were allowing things that weren't important to become important. And yet, what Jesus wants is for you and I to be connected. Different people, different backgrounds, different social, different everything to come together. And the one thing that unites us is not how we vote or not how we view something or not the sports team that we cheer for, but the thing that unites you and I is Jesus. And if we understand what Jesus has done for us, if we understand salvation, then guess what? Everything else is second. And you might say, well, Tyler, those are pretty big things. But they're second to salvation. And salvation is what connects us. Salvation is what brings you and I together. Now, we're reminded here that even with all of this diversity, we are to have unity. Actually, the church cannot be the church if it doesn't have diversity. You might say, well, what do you mean, Tyler? If we do not have diversity, if we don't have people of different ages, if we don't have people of different backgrounds, then guess what? The world will not see Jesus upon us. Not only is diversity important, but while we study in the New Testament, diversity is essential. We need to understand that the more we come together with our differences, the more people say, they can't do that. I know that person. Man, those two, they'd fight like cats and dogs. Why are they getting along? Why are they serving together? Why are they working together? There has to be something that is putting their differences aside, because I know those people. Well, it's Jesus. Jesus is putting our differences aside, and he is connecting us in the body of Christ. Listen, that's a beautiful thing. Because the more connected we are, the more you and I, we grow in Jesus, the more we grow in his word, the more we are connected in unity despite our diversity. The third thing we see this morning, if we are connected as a body, then we are pleasing to the Lord. Now, what I love here is, once again, I told you earlier this illustration. Paul is going to go in depth here. He says in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, or I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is there therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? So you might say, well, Paul's being a little silly here. But no, he's really bringing home a point. What Paul is saying is, what if the body rejects its calling? What if the ear says, you know what? I don't feel like being here today. I've been looking at that kneecap, and I think I want to be the knee. Or, you know what? I don't like being a toe today. I think I want to be the eye. And you might say, well, that doesn't make sense. But sometimes we see that here in the church. Do you know that the Bible very specifically tells us that each person has a calling, each person has a gift that God puts in to that person? Some people are teachers. We are blessed with teachers here at Salem First Baptist. We are blessed with teachers to the youth, teachers to the children, teachers to the adults. But do you know that if you're not called to be a teacher, that's all right? And some people, they're called to be door greeters. They're called to be Mr. Fix-It. When I break something, they come, they fix it. I'm so thankful for that. We have a lot of people who serve in different ways, ways that you might not even realize. But the reason they serve in those ways is because that's their calling. And when we think back about the body, there are certain features in the body that we think about more. I don't know about you, but I think about the mouth. I think about the ears. I think about the eyes. I think about those things. And if you're a football fan this morning, I want to see if you understand this reference. Often, if I were to ask you what is the most important position in football, most people would say quarterback. I mean, that's the position everyone wants. That's the position everyone talks about. The quarterback, the running back, the wide receiver. Why? Because those are the scoring positions. Those are the positions where the NFL jerseys, they sell out. But do you know that if it wasn't for the offensive linemen, if it wasn't for the big boys up front getting those holes and doing their assignments, that the quarterback wouldn't have the time to throw the ball, that the running back wouldn't have the hole, that the wide receiver couldn't get to their routes? And so even though the linemen don't get the recognition they should, they are important. In the same way, there are people in the body of Christ, they are not recognized for what they do. But guess what? If they did not do what they did, then other people who might get more recognition, they couldn't do what they did. It all goes back to the body. And here's the beautiful thing. When we are doing it for Jesus, then we are crucifying pride. We're not going to be prideful about what we do, because the more we follow Jesus, we are denying ourselves, we're following him, and we're looking more like Jesus than the world. Every part of the body of Christ matters. And if we are connected, then we are pleasing to the Lord. There's a beautiful verse here in this scripture that, honestly, if I'm not careful, I'll go right past. But I want us to see here verse 18. But now God has set the members, each specific part, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. Now, I believe here that Paul's not talking about a physical body. Paul is talking about this local body, this body here in Corinth. And what Paul is saying is, listen, you think you've placed yourself. Well, if you're following the Lord, if you're being Holy Spirit led, it's not you who has placed you in those positions. It's Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. If you are being obedient, that's the question. If you are being obedient. But if you are being obedient to the Lord, then don't take credit for where you are. It's Jesus. Jesus has placed you due to the will of the Father where you are. Man, I love verse 18. Because verse 18 reminds me it's not us. Now, every year we have a nominating committee and we go to people and we say, hey, we need a teacher. Will you pray about her? Hey, we need this. Will you pray about it? And every time we do that, there's always something very specific that we always ask the person to do. Will you pray about this? Why? Because we don't want to put you in that position. We don't want it to be man-made. We don't want it to be the leadership of Salem First Baptist. We want it to be Holy Spirit-led. Because if I put you in a position, guess what? I'm not God. Don't be in that position to make me happy. It's when you and the Lord. And if the Lord don't want you in that position, then guess what? He wants you somewhere else. And when we pray, we should pray, Lord, give me the peace. Father, Lord, let me know this is where you, not the church, but let me know this is where you want me to serve at. If we are connected as the body, if we are being what we need to be, then we are pleasing to God. If we don't want to be pleasing to God, then why are we here, church? We are here as believers because we want to be pleasing to the Lord. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? We can't all be teachers. We can't all be door greeters. We can't all be nursery workers. Now, I mean, if you want to be a nursery worker, you should sign up. But we can't all be nursery workers and nobody be out here to be preached to. We all need to serve. And then verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Paul repeats himself, doesn't he? And the reason he repeats himself is because he wants you and I to not miss this. There are many members, yet one body. And that's beautiful. Our application. There's three things that stand out to me in this text. If you are in Christ, if you are saved, if you are born again, then you are a part of the body of Christ. One day, and I know on this earth we got different denominations. I know we have different churches. I mean, I think in the Salem School District we have 17 churches just in the school district. In the county, I don't know if my math can go up that high, but a lot of churches. And do you know in heaven I'm so glad that when we go there, there's not going to be a Salem First Baptist section. We're going to be able to mingle with other people. We're going to be able to mingle with other churches. Why? Because the body of the church is greater than just one church. Now, what we have to understand is often there is the body and then there's the local body. We're going to get to that here in a moment. But if you are in Christ, if you're saved, then you are in the body. And if you are in the body, then you are connected to other believers. Jesus, when asked about his mother and his brothers, said, if you are doing the will of God, then you are my mother and you are my brother. What is he saying? He is saying there that if you believe in him, you are connected. Not only do you have your blood family, but you have your spiritual family. And then finally, every believer is set by God where he wants them so that the body will function as he desires. God has a plan for every local body. God has a plan for Salem First Baptist. And if we are not where God wants us to be, then guess what? We're going to be a messed up body. We're going to be tripping. We're going to be falling. We're going to be looking like a cyclops. We're going to have too many eyes. I mean, the only way that we are proper in the eyes of God is if we are where we're supposed to be. The final thing this morning is, what about the local church? As I said earlier, the second base, if you will, that we're talking about this year is membership. Now, I'll be honest with you, membership is something that in my ministry I've had a lot of questions about. People ask me about church membership all the time. And a lot of times they like to say, well, show me where Jesus said join the church. Show me where he uses the word membership. People like to be smart. The word membership is not in the church. I know it and you know it. And so then people say, well, Jesus says, he doesn't say that specifically, so how do you know that local membership is important? If you study the book of Acts, and if you study the rest of the New Testament, then what you are going to see is after Jesus ascended into heaven, and after Jesus gave the Great Commission, we see the local church, first in Jerusalem, and then all over, beginning to spread. And what we see is within those local bodies of believers, Paul and others would write to them. They would have structure. They would have things that they would need scripturally. And we see that local church had responsibilities. And not only did they have responsibilities, but we see the local church was to be a close-knit group of believers. And you might say, well, how close-knit? Very. Man, you study the book of Acts, you're going to see people who are literally loving each other. I go back to what Jesus said. If you believe in me, if you're doing the will of God, then you are my mother. You are my brothers. Now, I'm thankful for my blood family. I am thankful for those that God has put in my life by blood. But guess what? There are times where there might be people you're related to, they don't have the same convictions that you do. They're not saved, maybe. Maybe they don't view Jesus the same way you do. And as you grow closer to Jesus, maybe they don't. Well, who are you supposed to have? Your spiritual family. Now, I know often here we use the term church family, and I don't ever want that word to become empty, because when we say church family, what we are saying is no matter how much blood family you have, you have church family. You have mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters who have your back, and they care about you and they love you. And when life gets hard, they will not forsake you. And you might say, I don't want that kind of church. Stay out of my business. Biblically, that's the kind of church we're called to be. Biblically, when the phone rings in the middle of the night and when something's happened, if it's your family, are you going to answer that phone call? Absolutely. Why? Because it's your family. Then why is it different for a church? If we're connected by Jesus, then we should love them in the same way. Well, Tyler, they're hard to love. My blood family's hard to love. I fight with them like cats and dogs. But I love them. And I would do anything for them. Are we going to fight in the church sometimes? Sometimes. We're going to have differences. We're going to have disagreements. There's going to be squabbles. There's going to be times where Sister Jones makes you mad. I mean, it's going to happen. But here's the thing, just like you wouldn't leave your real family, if God has called you to this local assembly of believers, if he has led you here to be a local body, then you should not leave unless God tells you to leave. Man, that's important. Earlier this week, preparing this message, I wanted to make sure that just because of my experiences, and just because of the way that I viewed Scripture, that it wasn't just my opinion on this. I studied and I researched and I reached out to people, and I wanted to make sure biblically that I was understanding membership in the correct way. And see, an analogy kept coming to my mind. If you have a fire, if you're cooking, then you might have a whole tray of hot coals. And as long as those coals are together, the fire is strong. But when you take one coal away and when you separate it, then that lone coal is going to lose its fire. Why? Because you've disconnected it. In the same way, church, the Bible calls us a flock. We have a shepherd, Jesus Christ. We have under-shepherds who are to lead us, who are to guide us, who are to love us, who are to serve us, who are to minister to us. The Bible never talks about being a lone sheep. The Bible never says, well, hey, if you don't like what's going on with the pack, just move on and do your own thing. The truth is, being a lone ranger Christian is not biblical. It never works. And you might say, well, Tyler, I come to church. I have my pew. I have my blood family. I have my group. I'm good. The church is more than just coming. The church is committing. What is membership? Membership is more than a piece of paper. I know people think, oh, just, you know, you're a name on a database. Membership is committing to other believers and saying, I am a part of what God is doing here. I am a part of how God is moving. I am a part of God's plan for right here. And what we have to understand and what we have to remember is being a member is sacrifice. And you might say, well, I'm just too busy. I have too much going on. Listen, we make time for what matters. And if being a part of God's plan matters, then we will make time for being a member. Why? Because it's more than just giving financially. It's more than just showing up on Sundays. It's investing your life into the church. Do you know that there are people who are going through things, and my testimony, they don't need to hear it. They might need to hear yours. Maybe because of what you've gone through, maybe because of what God has brought you through, God will use your testimony to bless someone else. But if you're not connected, if you're playing Lone Ranger Christian, if you got your own group, and if you're outside the bubble, then guess what? God can't use you the way he wants to use you for his will and for his kingdom. The local body should be a small glimpse of what heaven will be like one day. Is it perfect? No. But I'm so thankful for the local body. I'm so thankful for the body and then the local body. This morning, as we prepare to close, I want to say one thing. I know often when we have invitation, we tell people to come down, and if the Lord's leading you in salvation, if the Lord's leading you in membership, and even since I've been here, less than a year, we've had several people who, instead of coming in front of the church, they met with us, met with Brother John, met with myself, and honestly, that's the best way to do it, because when you're talking about membership, listen, you're talking about a commitment. I almost compare it to the difference of dating and marriage. You're committed when you're dating, but you're not committed long term. When you are joining a church, you are committing to that local body. You're saying, I'm a part of you. You're joining them. We're not joining you, you're joining us. And so, if you feel led, if you feel like the Lord is working on you in that direction, man, this morning, just come to me, come to Brother John. We'll set up a time to meet whenever's best for you, because this is something important, because we are not who we need to be if we are not connected the way we're supposed to. So don't let that, I have stage fright. Don't let that stand in your way. If God is leading you, not me, but if God is leading you, then don't let anything stand in your way. Bow with me. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Father, Lord, thank you for the reminder that we are many members, but we are one body. Father, Lord, children, teenagers, adults, singles, married, widows, Father, Lord, we are so vast. Lord, so many different personalities, Lord, so many different people, but I'm so thankful, Lord, you brought us together. Father, if we are in Christ, then we are united, despite our diversity. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, as we seek to know you more, Lord, Father, we understand that we need each other, Lord. Father, life is hard. And as believers in Jesus, we need other believers. Father, we love you. Lord, we ask this in your name. The precious name of Jesus. Amen.